Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Saturday. September 21st.
Yes.
Back on the regular schedule for a while of doing this show on a Saturday rather than on our
Friday night.
Our Friday night satellite broadcast thing from a different man room.
There you go.
But we got things to talk about, and we're going to start off with something that's very important because there's some clarification that needs to be done.
All right.
Apparently.
Okay.
We have the second most popular thing forming since the Let's Invade Area 51 and See Them Aliens party. On the last podcast, you made a comment.
Okay.
regarding getting a tattoo if Lamar Jackson has a game like week one.
Right.
Now, because this is a big time bold statement.
Right.
I wanted to go back because there's people saying, we want to show up and see this tattoo getting done.
Nice.
So, I wanted to go back and make sure everything is the way the listeners are remembering it. So you said, and I quote, if Lamar Jackson has a game like week one, I will get a tattoo of Lamar.
Right. Did he have a game like week one?
I then clarified with you, asking the same or better, and you said yes. Okay. Frankly, I want to wait a little bit on this one because... considering the Ravens played...
How many touchdowns did Lamar Jackson have?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay. I think he only had two.
Yes.
How many did he have in week one?
Five. Right?
Right.
So here's where it stands.
I don't get what...
Week one. Well, the person who called in...
Right.
...said that that was pretty close to... He had pretty close to the same thing. I'm like, I'll have to look and see.
How is that close? Well, I never said anything about scoring our scoring system.
Right.
I said he's never gonna have a game like that.
Kind of like Jay Ajayi.
Right. And if anybody else that wants to question this, how about we put up
a patch of your skin?
How about put a patch of your skin and say, if this doesn't happen this year, you're gonna have a face of Dan Weibel on your ass.
Ooh. That's got to be a big ass.
That's got to be. Wow.
So here's the stats. Week one, 67.75 CFFL points versus the Dolphins. He was 17 for 20 for 324 yards and five touchdowns. Three rushes for 6 yards.
I never said anything about.
No, okay. I'm just throwing that in there.
Okay.
Week two, 59.6 CFFL points, so less points.
Right.
Versus the Cardinals. 24 of 37, threw more passes. Right?
Right.
Seven more completions, 272 yards, almost, 40 yards less, and two touchdowns.
Right.
Although he did have 16 rushes for 120 yards. So, now I would argue that he's already started to veer away from that week one where he was beginning to look like a quarterback and he's turning back into a running back playing quarterback.
Right.
But he threw more and fewer yards and fewer touchdowns. I don't think that qualifies for the same or better.
And let's clarify one other thing before we get any further with this.
Don't be clarifying too much because the way it was, you kind of did say for the whole year. So we have a whole year to watch.
I'm not denying. I'm okay. Clarifying something else. I never said because I saw emails and
yes.
and texts. I don't think I ever said I would get Lamar Jackson.
No, I have to look back on that. I thought you said you would get a tattoo of him. I thought it's how it goes. I'm going to listen back to that. I just wanted to hear the wording of.
Well, okay. How about in my mind it was going to be Lamar Jackson. The words
Lamar Jackson. Oh, that'd be fine.
I don't think I ever said I'm going to get his face or his
his full likeness?
Yeah, his profile on any part of my body. But I still want to put it out there. Anybody that's so confident in this audience.
I am never that confident about something, I don't think.
It's just a tattoo of Lamar Jackson.
I know, but
it's just
it's all
L-A-M-A-R
Jackson.
Unless I can't take the pain and I just put Jackson.
Lamar.
There you go. I don't think I know I did not state
of Lamar Jackson.
Well, I mean, you can take that however you want. I took it.
Well, you're the one getting the tattoo. We'll let you make the decision how it's going to be. But
and if I can afford it, so whoever wants to throw in
the
bank, but
a GoFundMe,
and anybody that does want to see it might have to put up a little something too.
Well, we'll give it to charity.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm talking about. I need something in return if I'm doing this.
Bottles of Jack?
Well, no, I'm talking if it doesn't happen.
You should get something, too.
I think you need my name tattooed somewhere on your body, or at least my initials.
Well, we'll clarify this.
With a heart around it.
Wayne.
Wayne.
So that's it. Check out the website. We may have to put that up on the bold predictions.
The tattoo?
That Wayne won't. No, just that Lamar Jackson won't have the same or better week than week one.
Because I looked at the Dynasty points, and it was very close, Dynasty scoring. I don't think I ever said anything about.
No, you said stats.
Stats.
Yeah. Check out the website, like I said, mycffl.com. Mycffl.com. Everything we talk about, the news and notes, all the links. And we got a lot of injuries today.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of them. And the ramifications with fantasy relevant players on your team that you may have. Check it out. The links are all there. Also, our bold predictions or stupid predictions are up there, our ranking so far. You got another one correct today with Antonio Brown getting let go.
I tell you, I know my things.
And then we have our bets.
Yep.
The chance, something we should start charging for, I think.
Why? How did I do?
Both of us. We're both over 60%.
I might need a little more. I might need the money to get the tattoo. It's going to be a $100 tattoo.
So we have that coming up. We also have, we're going to be talking with our last place contestant and beat the host, Brian. He'll be on the air in a little bit. And he's going to make some vampire moves and pick up somebody from the free agent wire to make his team a little better for this week. And then we have a fantasy girl. Back to some measurements, as you're going to have to guess.
Thank God.
But until then, you got questions, comments, concerns, be sure to email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or dan@strap1971@yahoo.com. And don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249. Send us a text. Send us a voicemail. We're here for you. We'll play them on the air. We'll read them on the air. And we'll comment on the air. But before all that happens, you know what time it is. It's time for the news and notes. And it's a big one this week, so we should get going, right?
All right.
Here we go. So we're back, and I should have let the siren play a little longer because we need, like, 14 ambulances.
I was going to say, we need, like... Yeah, I was going to say something, but
we have big injury news this week and huge ramifications for other stars due to those injuries. Let's start with the big Ben Roethlisberger news, who was lost for the Steelers with an elbow injury. He underwent surgery, and he's going to miss the remainder of the season, so cut him in your leagues because I don't think he's even worth being a keeper.
No.
Don't even waste the IR spot on him. This move brings Mason Rudolph into action for Pittsburgh. Now, as far as ramifications for other players, Juju Smith-Schuster, who has not been the receiver that was promised to all fantasy owners this offseason, looks to take the biggest hit with the injury.
Right.
Not only was he lumbering along with Roethlisberger, he looks like he's going to be having his targets cut with the addition of Rudolph as starting quarterback, and that cut is likely due to the guy who you should be adding to your roster, James Washington. Washington is going to see his targets multiply because of two reasons.
Okay.
One,
tell me.
Rudolph and Washington spent a lot of time getting used to each other while the number twos practiced all year last year and this offseason.
I do like that logic.
Along with that, the second reason, not just practicing, both Mason Rudolph and Washington spent years in the game situations passing and receiving while playing together at Oklahoma State University. They like each other. They know each other. They know where each other is going to be. You should get Washington on your roster if he's still available. You're looking him up right now.
I'm trying to see if I can get him, but I think he's gone.
With this move of Washington likely becoming a larger target for the Steelers, it also makes Dante Moncrief less likely to see a great deal of action. Correct? If they even keep him on the field or on the team.
Right.
I heard news that he might be getting let go. Yep.
Glad I got rid of him.
In other injury news, you may want to be on the lookout for James Conner of the Steelers. He's not been practicing this week due to a knee injury.
Which would make Jalen Samuel.
Jalen Samuel, a big man to add.
Right.
This is not good news for Conner. Yes, he has busted his ass to overcome cancer, but the one thing that has plagued him in his whole career, college and pro football, is those knees. Take heed with the Steelers when they tell you this is just a minor thing and he should be fine and playing this week. Knees are not a minor thing, especially for running backs and even more with Conner. I would be very wary of this guy's immediate future with the Steelers and your team. Like Dan said, Jalen Samuels might be a guy to be looking at. New Orleans lost their starting quarterback Drew Brees to a torn ligament in his thumb. He underwent surgery and is expected to miss, 4 to 6 weeks? And hopefully he'll be able to return later in the season. Teddy Bridgewater replaces Brees in the game last week after he got hurt. However, I would not expect Bridgewater to be the shoe-in as a replacement until Brees returns.
I would totally agree with that.
They're actually saying that Bridgewater and Taysom Hill will be sharing time. Like this is some run-and-shoot offense in college. But I also think Taysom Hill may just take over for Bridgewater.
Really?
Yes.
Bold prediction?
Possibly. I don't know how that goes for a six-week thing, but I would not be surprised if Bridgewater gets benched and Taysom Hill comes in. He could just do too much more.
Taysom Hill, Bridgewater will get benched.
And Taysom Hill will become the starter.
Not because of any injury.
Nope,
you just think Taysom Hill's going to
I think he's got more upside and more ability to do things than Bridgewater does. Don't forget, Bridgewater is still playing on a knee that's snapped the wrong way.
Right, but Taysom Hill is what, he's a jack of all trades because there's a reason for it that he's not that good of a quarterback.
Well, but look at Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick. They were all jack of all trades, and they're all starting quarterbacks. Not very good.
But they all started at quarterback in the NFL. Taysom Hill hasn't.
Cowboy receiver Michael Gallup injured his knee and is likely to miss 2 to 4 weeks of action for Dallas. The diagnosis, a torn meniscus, was not believed to have suffered any structural damage. However, he did undergo surgery.
I had a torn meniscus.
Did you? So did my wife.
It took me
a while.
3 or 4 weeks, I think.
In his absence, you might want to be looking at moving Devin Smith up your waiver acquisition charts. Smith will be looked to stretch the field for Dak Prescott, but I wouldn't look at him as anything more than a deep flex option.
Right, no.
Eagles receiver Alshon Jeffrey's status is up in the air and straining his calf. Again, not considered serious, but we've learned that NFL teams will lie and lie and lie.
And lie some more.
About injury status of their players. After all, look at A.J. Green, who now is saying, did you hear this? That he's going to miss significant amount of time, more than what was originally reported by the team.
Well, and I feel like did we have this talk or did I talk with somebody else about that? That everybody thought when they first said 5 to 7 weeks,
yeah,
that was from the day the injury happened.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was 5 to 7 weeks of
game time.
Of game time. Yeah. And that's what.
And he's saying that it's probably going to be more now.
Now even more than 7 weeks?
Yeah, A.J. Green said, yeah, it's always been more than that. And
wow.
Oakland receiver Tyrell Williams, dealing with a hip pointer, according to John Gruden. I cannot imagine him playing much this weekend as drawing the tough matchup in Minnesota against Xavier Rhodes. Did you hear that? He wants to be called Xavier.
What?
Not Xavier.
Oh.
Xavier.
Leroy. Whatever.
You may want to monitor this injury closely as Williams' owner. Another Raider injury that is time, and this time it's Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
Who injured his groin, and he's got an illness.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Another injury that Jacobs owners have been watching very closely, considering he's a low-end RB2 for you this week against a tough Vikings defense, and the latest word is he's good to go. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I'm
not interested.
Not this week.
Chiefs running back LeSean McCoy underwent an MRI on his ankle after an injury in week 2. Didn't appear to be major, but something that needs to be washed.
Can you say Darwin Thompson?
Darwin Thompson, no.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Darwin Thompson is a one-play pony, and that's what he's living his career off of right now in fantasy football. He had that one play in the preseason, and everybody, oh, my God, he's amazing. Cam Newton aggravated his ankle injury, likely from carrying the extra weight of his unwashed idiotic hairdo around all day. But it could also be a football injury.
Okay.
Who really knows? Bottom line is that he is at a serious risk of missing week 3, and as we found out, done for week 3. That means Kyle Allen, your starting quarterback for the Panthers this week. You scared by a Kyle Allen?
Yeah.
I'm scared that I have to.
I might have to play him.
With Sam Darnold still out of action with that kissing disease and Trevor Siemian done for the year with an injury. Do you see the injury, by the way, on Monday Night Football?
Yes, I did.
Oh, they showed it like 3 times during the game. And I watched every one because I wanted to see how bad it was.
Wow.
You
watched?
Well, the first time I had to see because.
Right.
And then when it first happened, I'm thinking to myself, it didn't look good. And all of a sudden he's laying there and he's holding his leg and it didn't look like it was pointing right.
Right.
Right. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
With Sam.
That's what happens
Luke
when
Falk.
It's broken.
Yeah. Luke Falk is expected to lead a depleted Jets team for the next few weeks. The only player that is qualified to be on a fantasy roster from the Jets right now, Le'Veon Bell. But as an owner of Bell, you have every need to be worried as to his future. He's likely to be leaned on while Darnold is out of lineup, and he already had a ton of carries last week, and that is bound to continue. Bell is a threat to be overused right now, in my opinion, because there just isn't any other option for the Jets right now. Be worried if you're a Le'Veon Bell owner. Henry. Eagles receiver DeSean Jackson is going to be missing the next couple weeks with a groin injury, another one. He has already been listed as out this week, and he's probably going to miss next week's Thursday game against the Packers because of the quick turnaround. And he's also dealing with an abdomen issue for the last couple weeks. This is going to put Nelson Aguilar in the number one receiver mix for Philadelphia, surrounded by Mac Hollins, who I have no idea who that is.
Wide receiver of Philadelphia?
Yeah. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
No idea who that is.
He is a rookie out of Stanford. Guy you want to get on your team, actually.
Okay. All right.
You ready for the latest news? I know we shouldn't have to talk about it much more. But we got to do it yet anyway. But
okay.
Antonio Brown was cut by the Patriots.
All right.
This word from the Patriots. We appreciate the hard work of many people over the last 11 days, but we feel it's best to move on in a different direction at this time. And they let him go. This after, the third round of text messages from Antonio Brown
to a different woman
somebody hired right. to paint a mural in his house.
Do we know what the mural is? Is it of him?
It has to be. He's an arrogant douchebag.
Yeah, right.
But and then he was sending her text messages calling her completely broke, and yeah, you need the money, and you're trying to get me for money, and this and that, and look at your kids are really broke, and it was that text message apparently that was finally enough for the Patriots, from what I understand.
So the question is then, fantasy relevance.
Yes.
Does he get picked up, or first, let's go, does he get suspended by the league?
I would almost think that something's going to be done. I don't know if he's going to be suspended or if he's going to be put on the exempt list finally.
Because besides the civil suit that he's got going on against him, and he hasn't whipped a boy until the boy's bled.
Right.
Who that person got suspended, but he got suspended with pay.
We don't have video of him beating anybody up on an elevator right. yet.
Yet.
Or something on their back yet.
Right. Well, I don't want to see that. I can't believe I'm almost sounding like I'm defending
Antonio Brown?
Right. But what?
Well, we are talking rape and sexual assault.
I told you, besides the civil...
Okay. Well, but I think... Depending on what happens, because the NFL was talking to her, right? Last week. So I don't know what came out of that. I don't know if anybody does yet. But if you can't make it on the Devils team,
you're not going to make it.
You're not going to make it anywhere.
Really?
Did you hear this too? This doesn't have anything to do with Antonio Brown, but it has something to do with the Devils team.
Okay.
That's
the New England Patriots, if anybody doesn't know.
Raekwon McMillan. This is a tweet.
Okay.
From Barry Jackson from Flash Sports Buzz. Raekwon McMillan told me when he hit Brady on Sunday, a perfectly legal hit, the referee told him, quote, stay off Tom, unquote.
Oh, I did. I think I read that. Somewhere that
so even the refs are afraid of the Devils team, still trying to protect the little golden boy.
Well, when you're the greatest quarterback of all time,
well, when you have to be protected into being the greatest quarterback of all time, when you can't do it right. with talent,
I think he's done that.
Ugh. So, Antonio Brown, the question you asked was, will he be on another team? I actually heard today that they don't be surprised if he's done for this year.
Wow.
That it'd be kind of like who's the running back from Kansas City that went to Cleveland?
Kareem Hunt.
It would be kind of like that kind of thing where there's nobody that's going to pick him up because this stuff just keeps showing up. Or they won't pick him up until stuff quiets down, maybe.
Right.
But the money that Antonio Brown just threw away.
That's what I was reading about. He was guaranteed $30 million, and now he's down to
nothing.
Making $123,000 or something like that.
And not only Devil's team threw him away, but the Devil's company threw him away. Nike cut him out.
And
the helmet.
The helmet people cut him.
Like, that guy's not making anything. He might have to get a job. Shilling Starbucks or something.
There's going to be a team out there that's going to pick him up.
And who do you think it is? Like, well, it won't be the Raiders. It won't be New England. Dallas?
Should I make a prediction?
Sure.
If I had to guess, what team has nothing to lose?
What team has Pittsburgh?
I was going to say Miami.
Yeah, but they have nothing to lose except they're losing a record.
Well, Antonio Brown's not going to get them a win. But he is going
to... This is going to get to us because I don't know if you took the Patriots in the bets.
No, I don't. I didn't.
Well, I did.
Okay.
When we made our bets, the Patriots were giving up 24 points. Do you realize that with Brown gone, that went down to 21?
Why?
Well, I don't know. Well, it had been down after we made our bets because the day that Antonio Brown got cut, the point total dropped a full point to 21. So it had been 24 to 22 after we made our bets, but
that's how much
we moved the line.
Now I'm not going to throw like I said, I'm not throwing money on this.
Right.
It just seems like Miami. It seems like a logical place for him to go. I mean, he is going to go to anybody that's now willing to pay him.
Because he's just looking for
anybody,
money.
Right. And now
Yeah, but I think he still wants to be on a team that's going to do something.
Yeah, but none of those teams want him.
Right.
I mean, the devil team, you said, didn't want him.
Right.
So,
well, and then I had also heard that they were not even aware of these things when they first signed him. And if they would have been aware of him, they wouldn't have signed him.
Right.
Well, that's, there's got to be something to it.
Oof, yeah.
Eli Manning, speaking of the devil.
Okay.
He's been benched. Personally, I thought this would have taken a few more weeks than it did. I mean, you don't spend a very high first-round draft pick on a guy who's going to be your franchise quarterback and then let him sit while a washed-up mouth breather Super Bowl winner flounders and spirals your team into the basement, right? I just didn't think it would be week two.
Right.
So the question is, because I've heard this question being asked too, does Eli Manning make it to the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Do you realize he is barely .500 winning percentage?
Yeah, I don't care. He's won two Super Bowls.
And well, knowing the standards too, I mean, probably a shoe-in, even though of his horrible stats.
You want to do a tattoo bet on it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they did put Joe Namath in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
His stats are worse than Eli's.
Joe Namath's stats are worse than a lot of quarterbacks. Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I think you're... Jay Cutler, I think he has better stats than Joe Namath.
And finally, I think he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay.
The two Super Bowls are irrelevant because both of those were on horrible passes by him that the receivers made lucky catches on. Right? Yes.
I totally disagree. Now I'm going to start doing, instead of rainbow $5 bets.
I'm going to start doing tattoo bets.
Yeah, we're going to do tattoo bets.
I want a full sleeve. Kenyon Drake, finally. Final article of our news and notes. Latest Miami to be placed on the trading block. Would you like a Kenyon Drake in Green Bay?
No. Oh, nope. God, no.
Big help in running back depth on quite a lot of teams. You don't want him?
What do you want? With a Kenyon Drake, you have Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, who isn't spectacular, but either is Kenyon Drake.
Well, because he hasn't gotten the opportunity.
Who?
Kenyon Drake.
How much opportunity? I mean, he's
kind of like Duke Johnson.
How has Duke Johnson not had the
opportunity? He was wasted in Cleveland while he was there. He's being wasted in Houston, which I thought was impossible.
Sounds like somebody who's a Duke Johnson.
I am a Duke Johnson owner because I thought he'd be the number one guy, but it's like you have Carlos Hyde getting the start over
Duke
you.
Duke Johnson was never going to be a number one running back. He's a third down back at best for the rest of his life.
And I was wrong about that being our final article.
Okay, because I have one other question or something.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay. Was talking with a coworker.
Yes.
And he had to ask the question.
All right.
Somebody cut Golden Tate in his league.
Wow.
Does he cut a wide receiver that has little or no, I mean, that he's not ever going to play?
No names?
I don't remember the names. He probably gave me a name, but he was thinking.
Golden Tate is a giant.
Right. So does he wait until Daniel Jones has, I mean, his game this?
Well, but the thing is, if it's a guy you're not playing anyway, why not make the move?
Right.
Because if you wait to see what Daniel Jones does, you might not be able to get Golden Tate.
And that's what I thought.
Buy low, sell high. And there ain't anything lower right now than Golden Tate for.
Right.
He's only going to go up.
How about this? I want to say
I mean, if it really doesn't matter, like you're getting rid of some other schlup.
I want to say it was one of the Jets receivers.
Well, then yes.
Okay, so, but with a Jet receiver, let's say it's Robbie Anderson or Jameis or
Quincy Enunwa?
No, Enunwa's gone for the year. Crowder, what's?
No, Jameson Crowder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say it's one of those two guys. Would you, I mean, obviously, they have no one throwing them the ball now.
Yeah, for the next three, 4 weeks.
Right. But in the next 3 or 4 weeks, Golden Tate will be on the team.
Right, but isn't Golden Okay, I might be thinking of somebody else, but isn't Golden Tate suspended?
Right, for I think this is the last week.
This is last week? So you'll have another couple weeks with him.
Right.
Before Darnold comes back. And then the thing is even if Darnold's back, is Robbie Anderson going to do anything with Darnold back?
Right, or Jameson Crowder.
Right, yeah, either one.
That's what I'm saying. Is Golden Tate that much more? But then now Golden Tate's going to have Daniel Jones throwing out the ball.
And
we have no idea if they have.
We'll have to watch, but I mean.
So what would you say to this guy? I told him I would take the chance on Golden Tate.
I think I would too, especially if you're talking about a Jets receiver.
Because no one's going to pick up Robbie Anderson or
right.
Jameson Crowder.
And let's say Daniel Jones doesn't do anything the first couple weeks.
Which means Eli will come back.
Eli will come back in, or by then Sam Darnold will be coming back in. You can probably get Jameson Crowder back.
Okay.
Right.
That's what I said, but I wanted to ask the expert.
That's me. And now our final thing for this week.
All right.
Calling it the best of the worst. As stated by one of our listeners, one team over the last, decade?
Okay.
That has started 0-2 has
yes.
made it to the playoffs. This year we have 9. The Jets, Dolphins, Bengals, Steelers, Broncos, Redskins, Giants, Panthers, Cardinals. Which of those 9 was the question of those 0-2 teams? Do I think, or do we think, is going to make it? So what I did, of course, was went and ranked them all. From no chance to, this is the team I think. So we'll start off with that. My last two are going to be Arizona and Miami.
Wow.
I think the whole air raid offense in the NFL is a fraud. I think it's going to be torn apart rather quickly. And once that does happen, it's going to be ugly for the Cardinals.
Well, technically, you can't say Arizona.
Why?
They're not 0-2.
Yes, they are.
No, they're 0-1-1.
0-2.
Okay.
They're counting as 0-2.
Okay.
It's going to be ugly for them and Kyler Murray, and he's going to end up being an afterthought in football.
Well, let's not get crazy.
0-2.
All right.
He's going to be thinking, why didn't I just stay in baseball?
I don't.
Yep. Once you get past Larry Fitzgerald, the talent level drops quickly.
What about David Johnson?
Stop.
All right.
Not a fan of the running back. He's a guy who made his money after his first year in the league, and he's been stealing from the Cardinals ever since.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Think Darwin Thompson in Kansas City. Darwin Thompson, is going to be the next David Johnson.
Crazy, really?
Crazy promise after one big run with the third stringers in a preseason game that never turns into any talent in the real games.
Really? You don't think David Johnson had
no
any talent?
No. Very little.
Really?
He had his 1 year, and then it's been injury, bust, yard and a half in a cloud of dust.
I think he's had 2 quality years.
We'll see. I'll have to look into that. In the last place,
all right.
I'm putting the Jets and the Dolphins in a bag, and you can draw one of them out. And that's...
The Jets and the... Do you think the Jets are going to be the worst?
Jets and the Dolphins are tied for the worst.
Are 31 and 32 in the league.
Yes. Yes. I might put Miami at the bottom at 32 because they have publicly just given up and they're embarrassing. They're just that embarrassing.
Okay.
That 100% quitter mentality that they have right now. The Jets have fallen into a quitter mentality due to an injury and just the hiring of a horrible head coach. Until Darnold is back, the Jets have nothing to do but rely on Le'Veon Bell. And like I said earlier, he's going to get used up before the middle of the season. Right?
I don't know why I have a love affair with the Jets. Because they're one of the teams that I think would have a very outside chance of making the playoffs.
Yep.
But Darnold's got to come back, and then they have to just go on a 7-0 run. After, I guess that'd be more than 7-0, wouldn't it? 9-0 run?
Yeah, probably.
To make the playoffs?
And that's not going to happen.
And that's probably not going to happen either.
In sixth place. I have the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Not because I think they're that good, but the rest of the team's just that bad. Panthers have the best of the remaining talent. Cam Newton is just about finished. It'll be nice to see what his replacement does this week. Fifth place, Giants. They've given up on the mouth breather and gone with their first-round draft pick from this year. Saquon Barkley, the clear bell cow. And much like I mentioned with the Jets, I fear the teams are just going to pack the box and say, Barkley isn't going to run against us. You're going to have to prove that you can pass. And it's going to come down to whether or not Daniel Jones is what the team is promising us.
I just couldn't disagree more with you right now.
In, what are we up to? Fourth place?
Sure. Fifth, right?
Fifth. Washington. No clear quality quarterback. Injuries at running back along with a questionable receiving core. Fourth place. Or wait, where am I at here?
A fourth now, yeah.
No, third place.
Okay.
Sorry, I got this all mixed up because I'm going backwards. the Broncos. And Cincinnati, tied. Because of the quarterback situation. Right?
You're trying to say who's got the best chance of making the playoffs.
And I think that's the Steelers. Steelers have the best chance of turning this whole thing around and making the playoffs. Even with the loss of their quarterback, the backup they have in place is the most competent of the replacement quarterbacks. Add to the fact, Mason Rudolph is blessed to have a receiver that he spent years with at Oklahoma State University. Right? I think the best out of all nine of these, they have the best head coach.
Right? Okay. No.
You don't think so?
Mike Tomlin, the best head coach?
Of the 9-0-2 teams?
No.
Adam Gase. Cliff Kingsbury. Who's the defensive fraud from Chicago that's in Denver right now?
I can't.
Who's the fraud in Miami?
Okay, so you're saying he's the best of the...
The 0-2 teams.
Yeah, because he's not that... I wouldn't even say...
No, he's not that great of a coach, but he's the best coach of the 0-2 teams.
I'd say there's a 9-way tie between all of them. So, okay, let's talk here.
Right.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
This week.
Yes.
Pittsburgh, San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Week 4, the Bengals.
Pittsburgh.
Week 5, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Week 6, Chargers.
Probably Chargers.
And I won't say week 8 because that's a Pittsburgh win. Week 9, the Colts.
Pittsburgh.
Then the Rams.
Mm-hmm. Rams.
Then Cleveland.
Pittsburgh.
At Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh.
Cleveland.
Pittsburgh. I'm losing faith in Cleveland.
Well, I guess you kind of do have an argument because they don't play anybody.
No. They're in the same situation that the Patriots are in.
After,
Patriots have only been in the playoffs all these years because they don't play anybody in their division. Because
after Cleveland, it's Arizona.
Win 7.
Buffalo, by then Josh Allen will have got hurt.
Possibly, if not Buffalo.
Then the Jets.
Pittsburgh, so that's 8. They're 8-8.
And the last game is Baltimore.
Ooh,
and Baltimore
they could be playing for nothing.
Baltimore is not playing for anything because they got the division wrapped up. Yeah. And probably
so they're either 8-8 or 9-7. Right?
I actually don't mind that. I mean, I'm just looking at... I do disagree with some of your other teams because why you have Washington as high up as you do.
Oh, they're a good team.
No.
Yes.
Well, at best, they're the third best
team.
Very
good defense.
Third best team in that division.
Think so? Yeah, well, but I mean, we're just talking about which of these 0-2 teams has the best chance of making the playoffs. We're not saying which ones are the best teams.
Well, I know, but you have to look at You have to look at the win total. Yeah. I mean, they're going to probably lose four games against Cowboys and the Eagles. They already lost one game against the Eagles. I'm okay. willing to bet you.
So they can be 12-4? No.
No.
All right. That's it for the news and notes, everybody. It's time to talk to our... What, do you have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, I may have to, yeah.
Okay, it's time to talk to Brian, our last place person. I was going to call him the loser, but he's not a loser. He's a winner.
And I think he can handle this on his own, so.
All right, so we're going to get on the phone with Brian. It's time for Beat Those, everybody. Here we go.
I win here and I win there. Now what? I'm sorry. Winning. I'll be over here, like, winning.
So much, you may even get tired of winning.
And it's time for Beat the Host, everybody. And on the phone with us today is Brian. He's one of our listeners taking part in the contest. And this week, he was unfortunate enough to be the bottom of the list, the last place guy. So on the phone with us is Brian. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing very well. How are you?
We're doing great. Sorry to hear about your poor showing this week. But you are lucky enough that you get to switch out some players, and we're going to get into that right away. Do you have any questions on how to do this, or are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's start with the team you're going to vampire a player from. Who is that?
Well, I believe it's Brad's team.
Brad's team. Okay, and I think I already know where you're going. You're gonna trade him who?
I'm going to trade him. I want Ezekiel Elliott.
You're taking Ezekiel Elliott. All right. And who are you giving him? You got to give him your running back. I do not remember who that is.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm going to have him look in front of me.
That's how good he was. All right, fine. So you're going to switch running backs with Brad. And then you also get to, if you want to, pick up a player from the free agent wire, somebody that's not on a team, and get rid of one of your players. Do you feel like doing that today too?
I definitely have to. My player is injured.
Okay, so you're going to be cutting
Drew Brees.
That's right. I forgot about that. Drew Brees. And you're going to pick up
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Sounds like a plan. Well, I hope you do a lot better this week. You got to get back up into the leader area. But other than that, I wish you good luck, and hopefully we won't have to talk to you again unless, you know, you want to call in and make some comments.
No, I think we're all good. I'm excited about my two new picks. I'm looking to make a little move this week, so I'm ready to go.
Sounds good. Well, good luck, and we'll talk to you again later on.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. So, and it was Duke Johnson that Dan just reminded me after he got back from the bathroom.
Oops.
That Brian will be giving up Duke Johnson for Ezekiel Elliott. That's a fair trade, right?
I think.
I don't know if Brad will agree with that, but.
He's playing at least.
He's playing. Better, he could have just like traded quarterbacks and could have been a dick and just said, here, you have Drew Brees who's out. And
well, I was just glad that he went after somebody that was in the top five.
As far as quarterback?
As, no, in standings.
Players?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think he went after, I mean, because you have, who is your running back? You couldn't take yours.
Right.
But, I mean, because he was thinking either Ezekiel Elliott, when I was talking to him this week, getting set up for this, he was thinking Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook.
Well, I mean, like, I'm just looking at the standings, and Justin's in number one. So he could have traded Justin Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but he did not. He decided to go with Ezekiel Elliott.
I think it's a good pick. I mean, Brad was the top four. I mean, he was in the fourth spot.
Yeah. So now we're going to get into the rest of the must-starts and don't bothers. Feel free to jump in with any of them if you want.
Hopefully
you
can to go again.
or you could just, that's what happens when you have eggs on your way here.
That's right.
Or else you could just say, yeah, Dave, you know what? I agree with that. We're going to start with the quarterbacks.
Okay.
My first must start this week is Russell Wilson versus New Orleans. He had a huge week in that included three touchdowns against a battered Steelers team. I don't know if that was just an anomaly or a view of things to come. One thing is for sure, you aren't going to see anything different this week when he plays the Saints. The Saints have given up over 275 yards and just about 25 fantasy points to quarterbacks over the first 2 weeks of the season.
I agree.
Next guy, somebody you might not think of, Josh Allen against Cincinnati. Right?
Yeah, I know you just traded for him, right?
I love me a little Josh Allen, and this is the week that all us Josh Allen devotees have been waiting for. Last week against the Giants, he put up more than 22 fantasy points, and doesn't get any harder for him this week when he faces the Bengals. Much like the Saints, the Bengals have given up five touchdowns and an average of 20-plus points to quarterbacks this year. I also love my guy Matt Ryan against Indy.
Wow.
And Jimmy Garoppolo against Pittsburgh. As far as don't bothers, the Red Rifle versus Buffalo. Doesn't seem to matter each year. The Bills' defense is always stout, no matter what. Do not be fooled by Dalton's nice start to the season. He hasn't matched up against anyone as tough as the Bills yet. The Bills' defense is allowing just over 11 points per game to quarterbacks. My other guy I don't like this week, Mitch Trubisky against Washington. He simply is not a second overall pick for any team. The Bears wasted their draft pick and future picks for this turd of a single caller. This week, it's the Redskins. Normally, that would be a godsend for any fantasy quarterback. However, Trubisky is completing just 59% of his passes in an offense that has started to lean heavily to the run. You have to have somebody else on your team. Or there has to be somebody in free agency to go with other than his bust.
I don't know if he's a bust yet. I like Packer fans that I've been hearing all week or the last few weeks.
Yep.
Let Chicago get their offense going.
Okay.
I mean, us Packer fans have to wait. Maybe us the Chicago fans need to.
Packer fans, this is the week.
You think so?
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to be betting any tattoos like you did, but. Other guys you should be benching this week, Jacoby Brissett against Atlanta and Jared Goff against Cleveland, who has scored just 22.5 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks. He should be better than that.
Okay.
Must-start running backs, Aaron Jones, your boy.
Oh, yeah.
Against Denver. This isn't something I would normally do, as the Packers seem to be doing a 50-50 timeshare between Jones and Williams. However, Williams is a little bit injured this week.
Right.
Aaron Jones might be getting a little more action. And the Broncos have given up pretty good running games to both Josh Jacobs, rookie, David Montgomery, rookie,
right,
over the last 2 weeks. He is clearly better than both of those guys. Get him in your lineup. I also like this week Marlon Mack against Atlanta. Mack is the true workhorse right now in Indy.
That's pretty much all the offense I got.
He's tied with Christian McCaffrey for the lead in the NFL with touches at 47. He is a must-start as a RB2 or, at worst, a flex against the Falcons. I also like Sony Michel against the Jets and Frank Gore against the Bengals. As far as don't bother one.
What about a little Peyton Barber love?
I don't love him more than I would like. Well, I probably would like him more than Frank Gore.
Okay.
But, you know, he's a Tampa Bay guy.
Yeah, I know.
Don't bother running backs for me. Tariq Cohen against Washington. Forget the fact that they are playing Washington. Cohen just isn't getting used by the Bears the way he should be. Unless you're getting points for special teams usage, Cohen cannot be in your lineup at all. And Philip Lindsay against Green Bay. In the first 2 weeks of the season, we have another 50-50 time split with Lindsay and Freeman. This week, Lindsay matches up against a Packers defense. He's playing very tough this year.
Just slow down.
The best you should hope for Lindsay, maybe a flex option. I'm also not a fan of Adrian Peterson against Buffalo. Against Chicago, even though I have to play him in one of my leagues.
Well.
Because I lost Darius Geis.
Chicago actually has a really good defense.
Like the Packers. Held the Bears to what, 3 points? Yes.
Yeah, with Mitch Trubisky, woo-hoo! Who you just said you must sit.
I also don't like LeSean McCoy, who seems to be suffering from a couple injury problems. He might just even miss the game this week in Baltimore with his injury.
That's why Wayne was all over my Darwin Thompson.
Yeah, well, you should let him get Darwin Thompson. I have that coming up somewhere.
Okay.
To get Darwin Thompson, sell him while he's high.
Really?
Oh, because everybody's like all giddy over his big preseason one play thing that he did against third stringers. And, oh, my God, Darwin Thompson's the next stud.
Wayne thinks so. So
I know. Well, yeah. What has he ever won?
Exactly.
Must-start receivers for me, Larry Fitzgerald. Go figure that against Carolina. I've never expected Fitzgerald to be used as much in this new college-style offense of Arizona, but I was wrong. I was wrong.
No.
Fitzgerald is showing some unseen before speed, and Murray has been able to actually throw the ball. I like Fitzgerald to be a top 20 receiver this week.
Oh, that's not saying a lot.
Well, I mean, considering all the receivers out there that are technically better than him with better quarterbacks, I think Randall Cobb might finish ahead of Fitzgerald this week.
Now you're just talking.
That's a bold prediction right there.
Okay.
I also like DJ Moore against Arizona. Despite the fact that Cam Newton is not playing, Moore is still tied for third for targets to wide receivers and fifth in catches. This is a perfect week for him, whether or not Cam plays, and he won't be. The Cardinals' defense has given up at least six catches to four different receivers over the past 2 weeks. I also like Calvin Ridley to light it up against Indy. And like I said, Randall Cobb will be top 15
wow.
in receivers this week against Miami.
Wow.
Bank
bold,
it.
Bold prediction.
I should write that down because I need credit for some of this shit because I am losing on that. You got it written? Yeah. Randall Cobb, top 15 this week. Fire don't bother receivers. Josh Gordon against the Jets. Sadly, Gordon's value has taken a big hit since AB showed up to the team, but, you know, that might change now. Antonio Brown being gone.
Well,
Josh Gordon may not be a don't bother anymore. I obviously wrote this before AB got cut.
Well, obviously.
The receiving mouths were just too many for one guy to feed. And, well, I'm just going to take Josh Gordon off of this because this doesn't make any sense anymore at all with Antonio Brown.
You shouldn't do so much homework ahead of time.
I have to. There's so much to do. I got a lot of research. And there's only so much time in a day. Another don't bother for me, Jarvis Landry against the Rams. He's only put up 18 points over the last two games, and that's hurting because it's cost me two games.
Are you believing in the Browns yet? Or
no. You're going to have another one right on this, where you said that they would go 1-3 in the first four games or something like that?
Yeah, but I have the wrong team winning that division, though.
Who did you have?
Pittsburgh.
Well, I did too, but I think Pittsburgh's going to be okay.
Oh, you're in the Mason Rudolph fan?
I'm in the, well, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
Because we got, you know, Wayne sent us that thing about who do you think, there's always been one 0-2 team that's made the playoffs.
Right.
Out of the nine that are available right now, which one do you like? I went and did some more research.
Okay.
Yeah. He actually, Jarvis Landry is making a good argument to be on the don't bother list for each game this year. If you are like me, you don't have a choice, however.
I think he's a good PPR.
Yeah, he is. If he catches the ball and he gets the ball thrown to him. I was thinking OBJ would be more double teamed than that, than he's getting. But he's not.
Or is it a possibility that there's good defenses out there that...
Well, that could be possible, but I doubt it.
Why ruin a good argument?
Exactly. If you have better options, Landry needs to be on your bench until he starts showing up. I also don't like Cortland Sutton against the Green Bay defense and John Ross against Buffalo's defense. And finally, the tight ends. Darren Waller against Minnesota. With Hunter Henry out, Darren Waller is becoming my new tight end love affair. Waller has been in the Raiders' offensive plays over 90% of the time, and he also ranks first on the team with targets at 15. This may look like a bad matchup, but just the time he is on the field alone and available as a target for Derek Carr is worth making him a start. Right?
I like that.
My other guy, Greg Olsen against Arizona.
Love. Even with Newton.
Oh, Cam Newton. Olsen had six catches for 110 yards last week. This should be another big game for Olsen as he faces off against a horrible defense in Arizona. I also like Mark Andrews against Kansas City and Jason Witten, the old man, against Miami. Great play this week. As far as don't bothers, Eric Ebron against Atlanta. He is virtually unplayable each week. Jack Doyle is getting more playing time, and the Falcons' defense is only allowing 9 scoring plays at tight end since 2017.
Wow, how a year makes such a difference with those two.
Kyle Rudolph against Oakland, keep him on your bench. Much like Ebron, Rudolph is becoming unstartable in fantasy. The Vikings are quickly turning into a run-heavy offense with the inability of Kirk Cousins to play the quarterback position. Last week against the Packers, Rudolph was a blocker on 36 of the 65 snaps, and you don't get points that I know of in fantasy football for blocking. I'm also not a fan of Noah Fant at Green Bay or Trey Burton against Washington.
I think Trey Burton's a lot like a Kyle Rudolph, too.
Doing a lot more blocking than catching.
Well, that and just there's a lot of high hopes for Rudolph.
Yes.
I mean, Rudolph was always like a top 10 tight end, supposedly.
Right.
And I don't think he's ever been a...
Yeah, he hasn't shown up.
And Trey Burton, I remember when
he was going to be the promised man.
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl for Philly. And then yes. Like he was like... He's top 5 tight end. Yeah, he's not. Yeah,
no. Well, that's it for Must Starts and Don't Bothers this week. As you know, that information is free.
That's right.
Do with it what you will. And more things that are free, and we should actually be charging for these things, we're going to get some bets out there.
Oh,
you ready for that?
I am.
Here we go.
Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that.
Clark, they don't play the same games here that they do at them regular casinos.
That's right. We're here in the casino, everybody, and we might have to just start doing this picking football game things professionally. Right?
Definitely.
Our picks, if you're using them, are actually making you money. If you would have gone with my picks from week 3, you would have a 60% win rate. Or through week 3, I should say. You would have a 60% win rate. Dan, on the other hand, would have handed you a 66%
wow
winning rate, plus the fact that you'd have that
first
college
week.
Parlay from week
That's
1.
That's right.
And that would have paid you a total of $175 on a $30 bet. But who's bragging? Not us.
Not.
Let's start making our listeners some more money, shall we? Still some time to get those picks into your local sports book. And we start like we always do with the NFL. And don't forget, you can check these out on the sports betting page on the website, mycffl.com, and then call up your man. I'm going to start with my first one. Dallas, minus 22 against Miami. Even I never thought the Dolphins would be this bad. This whole Miami thing has turned into a frightening thing to watch each week. So much so that it should almost be considered a loss for a team that doesn't score at least 40 points against Miami. Right?
Right.
Since the mid-70s, there's only been 5 home teams favored by 21 points or more. All 5 of those teams won the game but did not cover the spread. But this is a completely different animal this week. The Miami Dolphins just do not look like they care anymore, and it's only week 3. Every player wants off the team. They're finished. Every other team in this whole 21-point or more road dog were at least interested in playing the game each week. Give me the Cowboys, and I'm not worried at all about laying 22 points.
All right, my first game, I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons getting points against the Colts at the Colts. How they can see that the Colts are even a favorite.
I know. I have this game too.
The Falcons' offense is way better than the Colts' defense is.
Yeah. The quarterback for Atlanta is obviously better than Indianapolis.
Well, yeah. I mean,
the receivers are better. Running backs are better for Atlanta.
Well, let's say they're a wash at worst. Right. At worst.
When it comes to defense, they're probably about the same.
Yep.
Yeah. Unless I'm missing something completely.
And the weather's out of, I mean, there's no chance of rain or anything.
It's a dome.
It's a dome. So Everybody's got, yeah, I don't know how you can not take the Falcons.
I agree. Who's your next? Because I have that game also.
I'm also taking the Baltimore Ravens. Why they're getting 7.
They're not giving up 7. Baltimore?
Baltimore is getting 7 against the Chiefs at the Chiefs.
Oh, that's right. They got the Chiefs. I'm thinking last week.
I think this is going to be a closer game than people give credit.
Yeah. It's going to be the game of the week, I think.
So, which obviously is probably going to mean the Chiefs are going to run away with it. But Chiefs obviously have injuries at running back.
Yes. Both of their starters.
And their wide,
LeSean Williams is questionable, and Williams is out.
Oh, as far as I heard. Their best wide receiver is out.
Right.
Not saying the Chiefs aren't going to win this game, but given 7 points to
it's gonna be closer
the offense that the Ravens have been playing.
Yeah, so. the tattoo offense, we call it.
That's right.
My next game, New England minus 24 against the Jets. Now, like I said, when we made these bets, I had to give up 24 points, and then all hell broke loose.
Right.
And the I think what it is is when you and I bet, it moves the line.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, so they say, ooh, 22, 24, let's move it down or something like that. So, and then they went and let go of Antonio Brown. Like I said, I heard when Antonio Brown got let go, it came down another point where it's at like 21.5 or something right now.
Right.
So, my second game of the week where a home team's favored by 21 or more. And this looks like another game I don't have to be worried about. Jets are on their third string quarterback, no offense at all. And the Patriots are just playing like they're angry.
24 points is a lot of points.
Yeah, but they were favored by what last week? 23? And they ended up, what, 40-something to nothing?
43-nothing.
I'll take the 24 points, and I'll just hand those over to whoever wants it.
I am staying away from that one.
Okay.
I'm taking the Broncos getting 8 against the Packers.
Are you? At home in Green Bay.
Not saying it's a win. I'm saying it's a cover.
Okay.
8 points for the Packers defense that I don't think is as good as they are, but I don't think they're that bad either.
Right.
And obviously the offense still isn't clicking.
Right.
All it's going to take is a fluke punt return for a touchdown or something like that, or a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
I am also using a Green Bay-Denver game. However, I'm going with the under 42.5.
Oh.
I think Vegas has been undervaluing the importance of the Lambeau Field home field advantage again, just like they did last week against the Vikings. Packers normally should be getting about 4 points for their home field advantage the same way the Patriots do. They're both home field warriors.
Right.
When it comes to the spread, Vegas finally fixed that problem this week by favoring the Pack by 8. I'm staying away from that spread, and I'm going with the under 42.5. The Packers are going to score their share of points, but I see this game going somewhat the same way the Viking game did last week and the Chicago game. If this game was a couple weeks down the road, I might be willing to give up the points too, but I need to wait until the offensive gels a little more under LaFleur. I'm taking the under.
All right, my next game, Oakland at Minnesota. I'm taking the Raiders getting the 8.5.
What? Really? Wow.
Minnesota's defense hasn't wowed me yet like they should have.
Yes.
And the Raiders' offense isn't that bad. I know Jacobs is
hurting. Yeah.
But he is playing. So I... not looking for a victory here. I'm just saying another cover.
Okay. My next game, Cincinnati versus Buffalo. I'm going with the over of 44. The Bengals looked pretty good in week one when they averaged 6-plus yards per play against Seattle. In week two, they didn't do that good for them against San Francisco. They gave up 41 points and an average of 8.4 yards per play. I'm probably going to be betting the Cincinnati overs while these numbers remain lower than they should be. Buffalo's offense should have its way with the Cincy defense this week, and the score is going to reflect that. I'm taking the over.
Wow. Okay. My next game is the Giants at Buccaneers.
Okay.
You're going to see a trend here, people. I'm taking the Giants to cover.
Oh.
The Daniel Jones era has begun. No, really, the only thing is I don't think the Buccaneers should be giving up 7 points, whether they're at home or not, against any team.
I'm going with this game also. I'm taking Tampa minus a 7. I am betting on Jameis Winston.
Wow. I gotta hide. I don't want to get hit by lightning.
With the benching of Eli Manning in favor of rookie Daniel Jones, most of the sports book, except for Vegas, adjusted the line a half a point in favor of Tampa.
Wow.
Jones showed promise in the preseason, completing 83% of his passes. And this isn't the preseason, people. Remember that. And the Giants' defense are no longer the vaunted threat they used to be.
You do realize Barkley could have like two touchdown runs of...
Like I said, they're going to be packing the box until Daniel Jones can prove that he can throw the ball.
Wow. I just... Boy, you're...
I might be willing to make another bold prediction. Ooh. And say Barkley isn't going to do that well this week, but I don't...
Against Tampa Bay?
I don't know what numbers to throw out there. Pack the box. It's going to be any team.
A good tattoo on your ass would look good right now.
That says Saquon. Your next game?
Shoot.
I have three more.
I took the Giants. Okay, so here... Wait, no, 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 no. Oh, no, I broke my streak of...
Going with the underdogs?
Yep. I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks against the Saints.
Really?
At Seattle.
Wow.
Minus the 4.5.
You don't believe in the Bridgewater-Taysom Hill combo?
No. I'm taking the better quarterback here, and okay. I'm taking the Hawks beating the Saints.
I'm going with the Houston and the Chargers game. Houston did not look very good last week. However, I don't think they're a 3-point underdog against a team that is pretty much a carbon copy of them. The Chargers are older and slower at all their positions when you match them up against Houston. There isn't any home field advantage for the Chargers at all, considering they're playing in some high school soccer stadium. I'm riding the Texans, and I'm gladly taking the points through here. +3.
Do you think this is when we start hearing the Melvin Gordon talk of...
Well, what did he say? He's wants to be back between weeks 6 and 8.
So it...
Coming up.
It's coming up here.
You'll start talking. All of a sudden, there'll be some discussion about, oh, Melvin's meeting with the team. Right?
Right.
Your next game.
I'm all out.
You're done? I'm taking the Rams -3 against Cleveland.
Wow.
I have yet to be impressed with the Cleveland offense yet. I'm not impressed with OBJ's totally unnecessary one-handed catches. I was not impressed with how they came close to losing the game against the Jets with a third-string quarterback. On the other hand, the Rams' defense is still amazing. I am very comfortable handing over 3 points and taking the Rams. Speaking of OBJ and his stupidity, did you hear that some professional watchmaker people
are now trying to get him a deal?
No. Oh. They are looking at those watches and they're saying that they're not real, that they're fake copies, or nice. Not fake copies, but they're just cheap copies of real watches.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. And my final game, Washington versus Chicago. I'm going under 41.5. This game is going to be a sleeper.
Oh. Kind of like the first game of the year.
Yes. Okay. Bears, Packers. Under 41.5. Put the house on it. And now it's time for college.
All right.
You want to start?
Are we just going to go through them all?
Yeah, I just got a couple quick little things.
See, and I didn't do a good job here.
That's right. Well, you didn't do that on week one, and you want to...
Well, no, I just meant I didn't write down, so this is going to take me a while. Okay. Mississippi at home, -2 against California.
All right. I got LSU -24 against Vanderbilt. LSU looks tough. Was not a fan of Ed Orgeron taking over as head coach for the Tigers after a short stint as interim head coach. But he has proved me wrong again. The Tigers are tough, and Vanderbilt is likely the next victim. Giving up 24.
My next game is the Badgers, -3.5.
You believe in the Badgers, huh?
Go Bucky.
You're going with Buckingham Badger, huh?
I'm taking the home team, -3.5.
I'm going Alabama, -39.5 versus Southern Miss. They're starting to roll big time. Roll Tide. It isn't going to be long before they pull ahead of Clemson, who seems to be struggling a bit on offense and defense. Alabama is heads and tails better than anyone they're going to be playing this year. It's going to be another cakewalk to the championship game for Alabama.
Oh, sorry. Central Florida at Pittsburgh.
I have this game also.
I'm taking Florida -12.5.
I am also. They are finally starting to get some respect in the NCAA. When it comes to rankings, they manhandled Stanford last week. And this week, Pittsburgh is about to get the same experience.
So I'm going to show you my knowledge of college football.
Okay.
Central Florida, that's where Scott Frost coached?
Yes, before he went to Oklahoma.
Back to Nebraska, I mean.
Nebraska, yeah, and same thing.
Okay.
Red and white. And
yeah, that's right.
Corn and flatland.
Okay, here we go. I'm taking Kent State. Oof. At home, -10.5 against Bowling Green.
I'm taking Syracuse -6 versus Western Michigan. Syracuse impressed me a bit last week when they were competitive against Clemson for a little while. Western Michigan, on the other end, they are no Clemson. Syracuse should be able to handle them. That's it for you?
Nope. I have a couple more games. How about
me too. I have two more.
Go ahead.
Oregon -11 versus Stanford. The Pac-12 is looking like it will come down to Oregon and Utah. Normally, Stanford ends up wrecking Oregon's season with a bad loss for the Ducks. This year is going to be different. Stanford just doesn't have the talent to keep up with Oregon. The Cardinal have a horrible showing last week against UCF, like I mentioned. And the misery continues this week against the Quack Attack. You have any more?
I concur with you on the Oregon game.
All right. And my last game, Georgia -14.5 against Notre Dame. Normally, we as football fans have to wait until the playoffs to watch Notre Dame get totally outclassed by a team. This year, we get to see that demise of Notre Dame early in the year. We will no longer have to listen about how amazing the Irish team is that never plays anyone. Irish eyes will be crying later this evening when the Bulldogs run wild all over them. Crying.
I am going opposite of you on that one. I'm
really
taking Notre Dame laying the 14.5.
Yeah, well, you can have that.
And then my last game.
Yes.
One of my favorite coaches of all times moved.
Nick Saban?
No. Les Miles.
Ooh.
Is in Kansas.
Yes.
They're at home, well. And they're getting points at home against a not great West Virginia team.
Yes.
I'll take the 4 points.
Okay. Kansas against Virginia.
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Oh, yeah. Well, West Virginia lost Dana Holgerson.
So
Holgerson to Houston.
Les Miles is actually going to make Kansas a football, football
a powerhouse. Oh, man. That's it, everybody, for this week's bets. Remember, don't bet any more than you can afford to lose, and it's only gambling if you don't know what you're doing. Use the picks if you want. You're bound to make some money because that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
We're making money. And now, with the bets done, it's time to get a drink because you don't want to be betting while you're drunk. So we drink after the bets, and we look at girls. And that's what we're going to do. And we're here in the club, everybody, and it's time for the Fantasy Girl of the Week, Dan's chance to guess some measurements.
I was perfect last week.
Yeah, you were. That was amazing. You can check her out on the website, mycffl.com, mycffl.com, under the Fantasy Girl of the Week page. This week's Fantasy Girl, Josephine Marie Canseco.
Ooh.
She was born November 5th, 1996. She's an American model and, of course, an internet personality.
Yep, hanging out with Jody.
Oh, you know about this girl?
No, not Jody. What's his name?
Jose Canseco?
No. Who's she dating?
Oh, I have no idea. Some rap guy, isn't it?
No, isn't she dating Caitlyn Jenner's?
Oh, really?
Brother? Brody. That's
Brody Jenner?
I think she's dating Brody Jenner.
Now, Brody Jenner's not the older one, right? He's younger.
Well, Brody just had the big breakup with the girl who's
the rapper?
Or Munchin Carpets.
No, what's her name, though? She's a black girl, right?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
Am I thinking of the wrong Jenner?
Brody Jenner?
I don't know.
Brody Jenner used to date Lauren Conrad. He used to date.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, she's with him.
Well, but no, I want to get the story straight. Brody Jenner, I think, is dating Canseco.
Really?
But I believe he dated this girl, and I have no idea who she is.
Okay.
Who's now with Miley Cyrus, who divorced.
Oh, yeah, who broke up her marriage.
Who broke up her marriage.
Oh. Well, other than being
I know my stuff, too.
Other than being an internet personality, she was also Playmate of the Month for June of 2016. Canseco was born in Weston, Florida. She is the daughter, of course, of former baseball player Jose Canseco and former model Jessica Canseco. Hmm. She is half Cuban, half American. As a teenager, Josie appeared with her mother on VH1's Hollywood Exes show and starred in the season 2 of the internet web series Summer Break. Josie was discovered by model agents with her friend at the Coachella Music Festival, when photos of them went viral. She auditioned for Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in 2016 prior to her pictorial with Playboy. Canseco also debuted in the 2018 Victoria's Secret fashion show. The 5'9", blonde hair, blue-eyed model weighs 126 pounds. She wears a size 2 dress, and her measurements are.
Wow. Okay. She looks like a stick there. If I had to guess, I'm going to go size first. I'm going to guess a 33.
A 33. You're going size. You would get one ding.
And then if I'm going bra size, before you tell me.
Okay.
I would probably say a 32A.
36B.
Wow.
She must have a big rib cage or something.
What's her size then? She's 34.
She's 32. Huh. Oh, yeah.
That's throwing me off there.
I know. Well, anyways. Okay. Waist.
Waist. 23.
Exactly right. Damn, I plugged in the horn. Hips.
34.
Damn it. 33.
Oh, 30, right, one ding.
32, 23, 33. Your fantasy girl of the week, everybody, Jose Canseco's daughter, Josie.
I definitely see the 33 now.
So there she is. Check her out on the website, mycfl.com, the fantasy girl page. And that's it for this week. Next week, we have another person on the phone with us for Beat the Host. We'll have more news and notes. We'll have more must-starts and don't-bothers. And with the news and notes, we'll have the impact with their fantasy players that you may have on your roster. Until then, though, check out the website, mycffl.com. Send us emails, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or Dan at
strap1971@yahoo.com.
And don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249 or, well, actually, that's the only one there is. And you can send us text messages or voicemails, and we'll play them on the air. Until next week, though, be good.
Bye-bye.